Anne Harada is best known for the musical Avenue Q, in which she originated the role of Christmas Eve, a Japanese therapist who had such winning numbers as The More You Love Someone, The More You Want to Kill Them, and Everyone's a Little Bit Racist. She has also starred on Broadway in Les Mis, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, and TV's Smash. She's now starring in Douglas Carter Beane's The Closet as Brenda, the office worker nobody quite likes or trusts, but is always ready to launch into a show tune. It is a great pleasure to welcome Anne Harada to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
In watching this show, it just seems as though you're having a blast.
Well, of course. Douglas Beane has, worked with me in Cinderella and sort of had me in his head when he wrote Brenda. And so she's very close to my heart, obviously. She's not unlike what I would be if I hadn't been an actor.
You said that at the talkback the other night. You said if I was not Anne Harada, the actor, this is pretty much who I would be, working in an office somewhere, breaking out into show tunes.
That's exactly right, I think. And I think it's best that I didn't go down that path.
You're more acceptable this way, and you get paid for it.
That's right.
What is it like to have a playwright think of you as they're writing a work and know that it has more of a custom fit?
Oh, it's incredibly flattering and gratifying that anyone in the world would want to put me into their play is really extraordinary, just from like a personal point of view. But then someone like Doug Beane, who's such a wonderful playwright, who's so smart and who's been around for so long, it's really a great honor, and it's lovely to be thought of as a muse in any way, shape, or form, I think.
I want to talk about Avenue Q for a moment, because you originated that role. You were in the off-Broadway run, you were in the Broadway run, and then you even played it in London. And you've had a long affiliation with the show still, correct?
Yes. I'll be performing in Avenue Q on the 16th as part of their 15th anniversary celebration.
This is a show that I think surprised everyone in its success and the longevity of it, and the fact that you went from off Broadway to Broadway. Okay, well, that's a surprise. And then, well, you beat Wicked, which people are still pissed off about.
Oh, we had no idea that was going to happen. I assure you, we were backstage at Radio City on the night of the Tonys, and they were like, okay, here comes Best Musical, and we all like cleared a path for Idina Menzel. Do you know what I'm saying? We were just like, we're not up for this. We're not getting this. And then even when we got onto the stage, the screen above us said Wicked. After we'd won the Tony, and I was like, really? They couldn't come up with the appropriate card for that? this is the biggest thing we'll ever win, and Wicked, whatever. I mean, it's great. Wicked is a great show, obviously, and did not need the Tony to run. I think we probably needed the Tony to run because nobody had heard of us. We didn't have any big names or anything. And we, were very much a little show that could. And we've far outlasted everyone's expectations.
When you look at this show, There are the conversations that take place, especially with your character, about political correctness, much like in Avenue Q. And you almost expect, because you keep on jumping into show tunes, that you're going to start singing Everyone's a Little Bit Racist.
I could in the context of this play, but I don't, because we don't have the rights to that.
You got Anything Goes, but you couldn't get that?
Look, Doug contacted all the, estates of every writer, or contacted the writers directly and said, like, can I use this quote in my play? And they all signed off on it,
So just to clarify, did you try to get the rights to Avenue Q?
Oh, no. I don't think it ever crossed his mind, It's a little on the nosy for me to have to sing a song from Avenue Q in a play.
Fans would have loved it. When you think about your character and the show as a whole, of what it says, it is very interesting, and I'm interested in what you make of it.
Well, I think that this is a perfect play for us right now. And when I say us, I mean the collective community. When people come to see The Closet, and I don't know if you felt this when you saw the show, but what the response that we've been getting on the stage is, we kind of can't believe how overwhelmingly responsive the audience is. They're They want to laugh. They're dying to laugh. And I think there's something very important about the collective sense of that we're all in the same room at the same time watching the same story. And we want to feel like we're part of something. And I feel like The Closet helps you do that because it literally kind of like satirizes everything that's, you know, kind of going on in the zeitgeist right now. And that people feel, I think they find it freeing to laugh at every single person on the stage and their foibles. No one really gets away with anything. Do you know what I mean? We're all good people and we're all not so good people. And everybody is sort of mocked equally. Is that what I'm trying to say? That I think Matthew Broderick brought this up, is that, you know, Doug thought that there should be a villain in the piece, and actually the villain is us because we get in our own way.
You all get a moment to have a bit of your, for want of a better term, your bad side come out.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
But that also reflects on us, right?
Oh, of course, because every human being in the world is a flawed person, you know. We don't exist all good or all bad, obviously, no matter what kind of your, you know, stance on the political spectrum might be. Everybody's trying to do the best they can. I truly believe that.
Do you ever look at this process sociologically in the sense of what it's like to start with, because you've been part of readings from the very beginning, to do the readings, to come here, to do the world premiere, of what that is like? And I mean that in the sense of different than the act of doing it as an actor and saying, okay, well, I did a reading and then next week I'll go do the show and then move on to the next thing. Of what that is like to build something like this.
I think it's what we all want to do as actors. You know, I think we're all interested in putting our own stamp on a part in a play that says something that's meaningful in a larger sense of the word. You know, when we first started doing readings of this play, I thought, this is a great play. Like, it's got a lot to say, and it's very funny. And I think that's the most effective way, actually, to carry message is through humor, based on my experience in Avenue Q and other things. And I just thought, if we can just get this play in front of people, I think it will really strike a chord with them. And so to have a part in that process is great. You know, I don't think that any one of us who, you know, like, read the play for the first time or whatever, that we thought, like, we're going to go to Williamstown. You know, it's just like the idea. It's so thrilling to actually put it up on a stage, on its feet.
The other thing that is fascinating, we were talking about everyone gets a chance to be the villain, but everyone also gets a chance to really steal the show as well. You all have your moment to just take that stage over.
Well, I think Doug is a very generous writer that way. I think he, you know, and he and Mark Brokaw, the director, cast people who they knew could do that if they wanted to and, you know, gave them the opportunity to do so.
And you clearly want to.
Oh, Brenda absolutely does. Anne doesn't mind so much.
Anne Harada is in The Closet on the main stage at Williamstown Theater Festival through Saturday night. You can find out more at wtfestival.org. What a delight to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.